The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Shmuel Selinsky.
Today's topic is Orla. We're in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Ayin Gimel, that's 173, Hilchus Orla, the laws of Orla, Ubo Dalet Sifim, and in it are four paragraphs, four sections. So Orla, before we actually get into it, let's get a clear idea of where it comes from and what it is. So essentially, the first 3 years in which a tree is planted, those fruits produced in the first 3 years are forbidden, completely forbidden, forbidden to get any benefit from. In the fourth year of that fruit, of that tree, that fruit has a special kind of sanctity to it. It's called Netaravai, the fourth year planting. And that either is eaten in Jerusalem or in a state of purity, just like Maaser Sheni, or it is redeemed and the money taken to Jerusalem and eaten in a state of purity, which of course we can't do these days. So then the fifth year, the fruit of the tree is completely permitted, and it's like any regular year in Israel. We will separate the Truma, Maaser, the various tithes, and outside of Israel, then it's free to go, ready to eat. Okay, let's take a look at it in the Chumash, because this is a Torah commandment. It's in Vayikra Yud Test, that's Leviticus 19, and we are about to start verse 23. Vayikra Yud Test Chaf Gimel, Leviticus 19:23. V'ki Sovo El Haaretz, and when you come to the land. Okay, now when you come to the land, seems to indicate it's a mitzvah that's going to apply only in the land of Israel. However, what we learn from this is that it begins its application once we come into the land, and then the concept of Orla will apply, but not before that. Unatatem kol eitz michol, and when you plant any type of a fruit tree, okay, or latem, and it will be orla to you, or lasso. You will keep it as a forbidden. You'll be separated from this. There are many ways to translate orla. We're just going to call it orla, but it means it is essentially forbidden for you, es pir yov, its fruits. Okay, shalosh shanim yiyeh lechem, 3 years it'll be to you, arelim. It will be considered this orla fruit, lo yeyachel. Do not eat it. Now hold on a minute. Once I know that it's called orla and it's forbidden to me, don't I know that I can't eat it? So this double language that it's orla and forbidden, and in addition that not to eat it, is where the sages learn that it's telling us, the Chumash is telling us, that it is forbidden to get any benefit from it. Usur hanah. Forbidden to get any benefit at all from it. Okay? U'bashana harvis, and in the fourth year, yakol pirio kodesh, all its fruits will be, yakol pirio, all of its fruits, kodesh hilulim lashem, all of its fruits will be called kodesh, a type of sanctity, Hilulim lahashem. Now, hilulim is going to describe the type of sanctity. It's the kind of a thing we would say hallel, that we would praise over. So those fourth-year plants, where is it an appropriate place to come and praise Hashem? That will be in Jerusalem. So here we see that it is to be eaten inside Jerusalem in a state of purity, just like Maaser Sheni. And hilulim, the sages also learn from it, hilulim. Chilul is to turn something that was had a sanctity to it into regular, ordinary stuff. Kodesh l'chol. Chilulim means it has the option of redeeming it. And then the fruit becomes regular fruit, and the money takes on the sanctity of the netter avai of the fourth year planting, and is spent in Jerusalem for food, drink, etc., for something that is eaten in a state of tahora, which again, unfortunately, we don't have yet. We don't have in today's world without the temple. Upashana Hamishi said in the fifth year, we're in verse 25 of Vayikra Yutes, Vayikra Leviticus 19:25. Tachlu es pirio, then you'll eat the fruits, lahosif lachem tuvoso. And this whole process will increase for you your produce. It'll give you better crops. Hashem is giving us a very nice blessing if we keep the laws of Orla. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, your God, and I keep my promises, says Hashem. Okay, that's where we see Orla in the Chumash. So we have our basic laws from it. By the way, when it says you come into the land, meaning that's when it begins, unatatem, call, it's my, and you'll plant any fruit tree, we see that it would apply also, potentially, outside of Israel, but let's see that a little further now, inside the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're in Kuf Ayin Gimel, 173, the Laws of Orla. Aleph, call Eitz Michael, any fruit tree. Well, it's going to be an interesting question what's called a fruit tree, but let's basically call it a tree in which my intention is to eat its fruits. Bein shel Yisrael, bein shel Goy. Whether it is a fruit tree of a Jew, whether it is a fruit tree of a non-Jew. Vehila batzitz, even if it's in a pot. She'en anukav, even if it's a pot that doesn't have a hole in it. And a pot that does not have a hole in it is often called something which is not a place of planting, and it would be exempt from the Torah for many things. However, so far as Orla goes, nevertheless, it will apply. Shalosh shanim harishonos, the 3 first years, minatisav, from its planting, haperus v'hagarinim, v'haklipos, the fruits, and the seeds, the pits, v'haklipos, and the peels, hakol aser b'hana. They are all forbidden to get any benefit whatsoever from this. Okay, let's examine this a little bit more. What does one do with something that's forbidden for get any benefit? Well, there's an asterisk in my edition, and below it says, v'tu'unin serefa. It needs to be burnt. Well, I don't know if you ever tried to burn a fruit, but it's not so easy. V'she'enun ruili serefa, and if it's not fitting to burn, yikvaru, one should bury it. But when we say it's forbidden to get any benefit from it, that means even like to chop it up and use it as a mulch, to let it as compost for the garden. You can't do that. You can't plant the seeds from it. The stuff is completely forbidden. Don't use the peels for dyeing fabrics or anything. Nothing. No benefit. You can't dry it out and use it for firewood. Nothing. That's the first 3 years. And as a matter of fact, many say that the fruits should be removed so that people do not have a stumbling block and might come to pick it and eat it by mistake. It is not forbidden to look at Orla fruits, but what is forbidden is to get any benefit from it. So therefore, picking off the fruits as they form is a good way of avoiding any stumbling block with the Orla fruits. Now, when we said that in any type of a planter, any type, anywhere in the ground, and this is regardless whether it's a Jew's plant, whether it's a non-Jew's plant, Orla will apply. Whether it's a Jew's field, whether it's a non-Jew's field, if it is planted for fruit tree, then it is forbidden. However, there's a very interesting exception, and this is a halacha from Moshe Mi-Sinai. Rambam tells us it's Moshe Mi-Sinai, and that is, if it's a doubt whether or not it's an Orla fruit, then it's permissible outside of the land of Israel. This is a very special type of a halacha. It's a very unusual halacha. Inside Israel, if we have any doubt, gee, maybe it's Orla, maybe it's not Orla, then it's going to be called forbidden until we can find out and figure it out. Orla fruits, if they're mixed in with other things, they're nullified 1 in 200. But if there's Orla fruits on the market, it can get complicated, so ask your Rav as to exactly what's going on. And in the land of Israel, it's critical to know what's happening with Orla for people who like to eat fruits. However, outside of Israel, Moshe Misinai, a halakha of Moshe from Mount Sinai, is that if it's a doubt, it is permissible. And doubt is outside of the land of Israel. And doubt outside the land of Israel is an extremely lenient definition. If there's a whole orchard, let's say, that a non-Jew has, and it's almost all Orla, except for, let's say, one tree in there, and he's selling a basket of fruits, you can buy those, because maybe it's from that one. That's doubt. We're not going after majority. We're going after, I don't know for sure that it's Orla, it's okay, I can just eat it. You can't see him pick an Orla fruit off of the tree. That's going to be forbidden, because you know it's Orla. But if I have any doubt, it's permissible, and that's why outside the land of Israel, you can go to any market and buy fruits from trees and not have to worry about Orla. Maybe it's Orla, maybe it's not. There's a doubt, I don't know for sure, that's a problem. However, if you are planting a fruit tree in your yard, or you know when this tree was planted, you know, you're buying a home and it has a fruit tree, and the person says, yeah, it was planted 2 years ago. Or if you have a neighbor or even a non-Jew and you see when the tree is planted, then you know when that Orla begins, and that's when our first 3 years are going to be forbidden. And this would apply whether or not however the tree is planted. However, we're going to get to that fairly soon. That's going to be in paragraph Gimel. Again, if I know that it's Orla, I have to watch out for those 3 years. If I don't know that it's Orla, even if I planted a tree and I forgot what year when it was, then when there's doubt as to maybe it is after the Orla, I can rely on that. Or if it's a tree that I don't know how long it's been in its pot, I don't know, you know, there are many issues that can raise a doubt, then I can rely on this to not have an Orla issue. Okay, we're still in Aleph, though. These 3 years, well, the Kitzur continues. Shalosh shanim elu, these 3 years. Elu monim, they are counted ein monim miyom liyom. They are not counted from day to day. In other words, if I plant that tree on May 1st of a particular year, I don't have to wait 3 years until May 1st comes around again, and then the 3 years are over. No. Ella, rather, I need 3 halachic years. And we're going to say part of a year is like a year. And that's going to mean 30 days. So if I plant, if a tree is in the ground and rooted before 30 days of the year, and our year for Orla starts with Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. So if it is in there before Elul, I have no problem, then that Rosh Hashanah coming is going to start year 2. And how long does it take to root into the ground? Well, you should ask your rabbi about this if you're planting from a container, but let's say you're planting a bare root tree, or just, basically we're going to say 2 weeks is the amount of time it takes to root, to establish. Then we will have the 30 days. So it's 14 days to establish, to root in. Another 30 days, that to call that part of a year as an entire year. And then our Rosh Hashanah is going to begin year 2 of the planting. So anything that's planted essentially on Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, or earlier, that Rosh Hashanah is going to start year two. Let's see it inside now. Shalosh Shanim Elu, these 3 years, Ein Moni Miyom L'Yom. They are not counted from day to day, from the exact date, 3 years, till the next date, 3 years later. Ella, rather, Inata Kodem Tet Zayin Bav. If it is planted before the 16th of Av, meaning on the 15th of Av, even up until late in the day, Kevan Shiesh Mem Dalet Yom, since there are 44 days of Rosh Hashanah until Rosh Hashanah comes, Nechshav Lo Shana. That year is considered to it a year. Mishum, how does this work? Because, duh, that, Yud Dalet Yom, 14 days, Hema Yemei Klita. Those are the days of it catching on, of it establishing, of it getting rooted in. Then it's called growing in the ground. V'achar kach, afterwards, Lamed Yom B'Shana, Nechshav Shana. Afterwards, 30 days of that year is considered a year. V'shuv monashte shanim itishrei. And then further, what we will do is count 2 years from Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah is when it began. Okay? Now, again, I have a footnote here. And it's going to say from Tishrei, v'af achar siyum shte shanim. Even after the conclusion of those 2 years, a diet of sorim, it will still be considered forbidden. A peiros, the fruits will be forbidden. Shechantu, if those fruits form, kodem tu b'shvat, the 15th day of Shvat, she'acharehem. That came after the conclusion of its 3 years. So let me say this again, hopefully clearly, that if one plants a fruit tree, even outside of Israel, they know when they're planting it, so the tree would have to go into the ground before Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av. When that happens, Rosh Hashanah comes and we're going to start year two. The next Rosh Hashanah comes, we're going to start year three. The next Rosh Hashanah comes, and the 3 years of Orla should be finished. However, what's going to happen is we're going to say from then until Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, usually sometime in February, is going to still be forbidden any fruits that form then. If the fruits form beforehand, they're certainly forbidden, even if they're still hanging on the tree when its Orla time is up, since they formed during Orla. They are considered Orla fruits, and they are forbidden. And now the Kitzur continues, Aval, but, Inatum Yom Tet Zayin Ba'av Eilech, if they are planted from the 16th day of Av and onwards, La Nechshava Shanazos L'Klum, that year, that part of a year is not going to be called anything. You might get 5 weeks in until Rosh Hashanah occurs, but those 5 weeks are not going to be called anything so far as the Orla calculation counts. And then, Umoni Mitishrei, we will count from Tishrei Shalosh Shanim, 3 years. And those 3 years, we're going to wait until the next Tishrei, and there are many who say then the fruits that newly will form after that third year will be completely permissible. Others say one should wait until Tu B'Shvat, the 15th day of Shvat. Ask your Rav if you run into that situation. Okay, base. B'Shana HaRavis, in the 4th year, Nikru Peros Netar Ravai, those fruits are going to be called the 4th year planting, Netar Ravai. That we saw in the Chumash has a level of sanctity to it, to be redeemed or to be brought into the Israel, into Jerusalem, and eaten in a state of ritual purity. We can't do that these days, so we redeem it. Ketzad Podosan. So how do we redeem them? Tolshan. Okay, they are harvested, picked, removed from the tree. La'achar shig nigmaro kol tzorchan. After they're completely ripened and they're nice, good fruits, V'notel matbeah. Now the person will have these fruits sitting there in a basket and vessel. V'notel matbeah. He will take a coin, whether it's kesef, money, o perus shel heter, shava pruta, or fruits that are considered permissible fruits that are worth a pruta. And many do not like using fruits. They say it should be done only on money. It has to have even a blank chunk of metal that's worth the equivalent of a pruta is no good. That one should use an actual coin. And you can use a coin, whether it's going to be a half shekel 10 agarots or whether it's going to be a nickel. Today, and we're talking the mid-November of 2013, a sheva pruta, the equivalent of a pruta, it's the smallest amount of money that there is, that, and it's still called money, that is in Israel considered 8 or 9 agarot, and outside of Israel it's maybe 4 cents, it's going to depend on the core price of silver, and etc., but roughly speaking, it's approximately 4 cents. So you can take a nickel, maybe be on the safe side, take a dime to redeem your entire crop. It doesn't have to be for the face value. We can't eat the stuff. We can't do anything with it. The minimal redemption is on the equivalent of 1 pruta, the smallest coin possible. And therefore, we'll take that coin and we will redeem the fruits on it. Okay? And what will we do? He'll take this equivalent of a pruta, but Omer, the Kitzur continues, and he says, with this, I am redeeming the fruits of Netaravai, of these Netaravai. But there it is. Okay? So the value of the fruits, the sanctity of the fruits, now goes onto that coin, and the fruits become permissible. The sanctity went off of them, it was transferred onto the coin. By the way, in Israel, one would make a bracha on this, and outside of Israel, one generally would not make a bracha. Again, ask your rav for details. So what do you do with the coin afterwards? V'notel ha'mabeah, one takes the coin, o ha'peros, or those fruits, v'shachakan, and wipes them out, v'zork b'nachar, and throws it into the river. What I've done is given my kids a hacksaw and pliers, and they just bend the coin and destroy it. The coin must be destroyed. And outside of Israel, one should destroy the coin immediately upon doing the redemption so that no problem occurs of the coin being mixed up and being used and getting back into circulation. The aim of working b'chutz l'aretz al apidyon, and we do not make the bracha of redemption on fruits that are redeemed outside of Israel. Okay? There are those who say that only on grapes would one do this redemption, that the fourth year planting applies outside of Israel, but you can see the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate that it's on any fruit trees. Okay, now what is going on here? What's called planting a fruit tree that we're going to count from? Achad honoteya, it's one and the same if a person actually plants garin, a seed, or anaf, or a branch. They take a cutting and plant the cutting. Oh, sha'akar ilan, or they uproot a tree. V'nato b'makom acher, and they plant it in another place. Chayavim ba'orla, it will be obligated in orla. Okay, now this is talking about a situation where the root ball is not something that the plant could live with. If it's a bare-rooted tree, the orla starts when it's planted. Count the 14 days for it to root in, and then the orla would begin. The count. Or if it's a cutting that goes right into the ground, boom, start the count after the 14 days of the rooting. Or if it's moved from one place to another, however, if there's enough soil around the root ball that the roots are taken together with the soil. It doesn't crumble off. It doesn't all fall off. But the plant could actually survive with that much soil around it. Then the orla count would not necessarily start again. One could keep the old orla count. Or if it's planted from a container that it grew in. Of course, one would have to estimate when it was planted in that container. And this can get rather complicated, and especially in the land of Israel, it's very good to ask a Rav exactly what the situation would be there. Okay, we continue with the kitzer. Whether or not it's a seed or whether it's a branch, meaning that it was a cutting that was taken and put into the ground, or whether it was moved from one place to another, the obligation for Orla will apply. Aval, but Hamarkiv anaf ilan aher, one who grafts a branch onto another tree. Okay, now grafting is the roots of one tree are there, and one takes a branch off of the top of a different tree and grafts it. They put it onto the roots of the other tree. They will fuse together and become one plant. This is, as we see in the next section, Kufay and Dalet 174, only permissible if those trees are considered the same species. But for example, if I have a golden apple and I want to grow more golden delicious apples, I would graft that onto an apple seedling or any other kind of an apple, and the top that grows will be those golden apples. Or that's how I get seedless grapes or seedless oranges. I can't do it from planting a seed. So traditionally what's done is it's grafted, but it would be orange on orange or it would be grape on grape. And if this is done, then we have two issues. We have how old is that cutting, the top, and how old are the roots? Well, the kitzer is going to tell us that Hamarkiv anaf b'ilan acher, or also b'chein hamavrich, or if somebody does layering. Now, layering is where someone takes a branch of the tree, bends it down into the ground so the tip is sticking out of the ground. But a part of the branch is actually under the ground. It may be wounded. They cut it a little bit so that where the wound was, roots will form. It grows roots. The top shoot that's coming out grows. And then ultimately it's cut from the parent plant, from the mother plant. And one has, in essence, a brand new fruit tree, a new plant. Well, what's the story if someone does that? Now, the kitzer is going to explain what mavrich, berach means a knee. It's bending it down, and then the tip comes up, and where it bends and hits the ground is going to root. Dahena, that is, she'osa guma ba'aretz, one makes a depression in the ground, umashpil achad me'anfei ilon, and he lowers one of the branches of the tree, umatmin emtsaso ba'aretz, and then he hides, he covers, buries the middle part of that branch in the ground. Verosho yotze mitzad acher, and the tip, the end of the branch, sticks out on the other side. Afo pisha haku me'ikor ha'ilan, even though it is cut off from the roots of the tree, once it's cut, b'chutz la'aretz ein bo mishum orla, outside of Israel, there will not be orla applying to it. Not everyone agrees with this. I suggest you ask your Rav. And inside Israel, once it's cut, the orla count starts all over again, even if it's a three-year plant. It's been in there for the entire 3 years and growing, but once it's cut away from the mother plant, its new count starts again. Ask your Rav about what to do. The Ilan Shenikzat, this is Dalet, Ilan Shenikzat. What about a tree that was cut down? An old tree, everything was fine, but zoom, it broke off, it got cut down. Im nishar gov gvoa be'aretz tefach. If it is a tefach, that's a hand breadth, approximately 4 inches, 10 centimeters, extending above the ground, that much remains. Azay masha gadol, then that which grows. Achar kach, afterwards, eno chayev be'orla, will not be obligated in orla. It keeps the old count of all in lo nishar tefach. But if a tefach, 4 inches, 10 centimeters, does not remain above the ground where the tree was broken, it's less than that, chayev ba'orla. One has to begin the count all over again. Umonin hashanim mishas ha'katziah. And count the years from the time of the breaking. It doesn't need to count the 14 days of rooting because it's already rooted. But the growth, the new tree, we're going to have to count it from the time that it was broken. Cut off. The elon and a tree, shene'ekar, that's uprooted. V'nishar mishor shav mechubar, but the roots are still considered, their roots are still attached. A dog dug up the tree. It fell over in a storm, whatever, any of these things, and a whole bunch of roots are poking out, but still there are roots attached, afilu rak ave machat. Even if the root that is still growing in the ground, still attached, is as thick as a needle, what kind of needle? Shamotchin bo habeged la'achariga, that's used for sewing cloth after weaving. That's a rather thick needle, but it's still not a very thick root. But you do it, then for sure it will be known, sheyechol lechios b'li toseves afar, that it can live without any additional earth. If there's that much root left, the tree can still live. Upatur, then it is exempt from counting orla all over again. Afilu hosif alav afar harbe, even though he may add a lot of soil back afterwards when he puts the other roots back in, nevertheless, that one root was still attached, everything is considered fine, and therefore, he doesn't have to start over again. There are many complications to the laws of Orla. You now have a very good introduction to it. That's what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch does. And when questions arise, if you're going to be planting your own fruit trees, whether it's in pots, whether it's in the ground, then by all means, ask your Rav for guidance. And enjoy the fruits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in this world. Thank you.